The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, Friday, November the 9th, 2018. It feels like it's been a very long week, Dan Shear.
It's been a long week.
Is this the week that never ends? I'll tell you. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. We, of course, have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts up at my website, buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you very much to Dylan Smith and his gang over at Tucson Sentinel, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. That is Dan Shear's organization. Dan is the editor of those two fine local papers. Dan is also the executive editorial editor. Is that the title, editorial director for WIC newspapers?
Correct, editorial director.
And so, there are 27 in the portfolio?
Correct, in 10 states.
Very cool. And you'll be going to one of them up in a small town in Colorado next week.
Yes, Montrose.
Montrose. The Tucson Media Group supports us and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, including Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, State Senator Steve Farley, former Democratic candidate for governor. Senator Farley, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Are you excited about what you're seeing with some of these kind of like maybe we'd call it a late blue wave? Maybe that wave was midway out into the ocean. It's getting closer to shore.
Well, we've still got about a half million outstanding ballots to be counted across the state, a lot of them in Pima, a lot of them in Maricopa, and they're trending towards Democrats. That's why we've seen Kyrsten Sinema take the lead just last night, and this could go on for a couple more days, and they seem to be trending in our direction, because they could also mean another seat gained for the state Senate for the Democrats, and we've already see a 31-29 a House, which nobody really saw that the House would come under threat of potentially flipping, but 31-29 is so close. One Republican changes sides, you can kill any bill.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you're very close when you've got that kind of leverage. The Republicans are going to have to work, at least in the House, closer with Democrats this time around.
Yeah, they absolutely will. I mean, that doesn't mean they necessarily will do that, because whoever has the majority has the power to set committees. I mean, I would hope that they're not going to have a 5-2 education committee, 5 Republicans to 2 Democrats again, if it's a 31-29. Split, because that's hardly democratic, but we've seen worse things happen.
And one more quick follow-up before I throw it over to you, Dan, about the statewide offices. Some of the Democrats are looking a little better, Superintendent of Public Instruction and Secretary of State are doable.
Hoffman is in the lead for Superintendent of Public Instruction, so that's a real possibility, and Katie Hobbs is gaining every time new ballots get counted. So Hobbs could potentially crawl back and win that Secretary of State's race, which would be huge.
So I'm looking at those numbers right now. Thank you, Ray, for bringing those up on the screen. And I'll tell you, Steve, and this just jumps out at me at the top of the ticket, and of course, I know you have some very strong views about that, but you look at Doug Ducey. He's got over 57%, and Dr. Garcia's got barely 41%. That's a huge spread, and you wonder if there had been a stronger Democratic showing that would have helped the down ticket.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, it's unfortunate when you look at the numbers. David Garcia has fewer votes than any other Democratic statewide candidate, including the mine inspector.
Whoa.
We needed somebody who was strongly going to lead the ticket, and sadly, he was a drag. And even you saw Republicans using some of the things that Garcia had said, which were more akin to a primary election than a general election, against people like Tom O'Halloran in their district. They were using that and trying to put him in the same boat. If you had somebody who was running a campaign that was frankly more competent, that was actually understanding that Arizona isn't the Bronx, as much as some people would like it to be, then I think we would have had some of these statewide races already with Democrats winning or much, much closer.
Including the Attorney General's race, because January Contreras was a great candidate.
She was a great candidate.
Smart. But her race is, you know, it's out of control at this point, but it might have been closer if there'd been a stronger candidate at the top of the ticket.
Absolutely. I'd like to feel that I was running a campaign all along that was focusing on beating Doug Ducey in November. But the primary voters felt like they wanted to go in a different direction, and sadly we're reaping that decision right now.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
But Steve, voters put people in office, but it is the parties that pretty much put the names on the ballot. How can you tell us a little bit about that process? I mean, strange things like Kelly Fryer jumping into the Democratic primary is one. David Garcia, who couldn't win a couple 4 years ago as state superintendent of public instruction. How did this happen in the Democratic Party? How are these decisions made who the party's going to back?
Well, I don't think it's happening necessarily from the party itself, but there's a lot of people who are very interested in having certain candidates that they're backing for certain reasons. Interest groups like AEA, the Arizona Education Association, or the Planned Parenthood, or other people decide early that they wanted to go with David Garcia for governor. There were certain people that encouraged him to run for governor instead of superintendent of public instruction because there was a thought that he would inspire more Latino turnout because he was Latino and he was making that case as part of the reason people should vote for him. I don't think that approach is something that worked this time. I don't think it's a good approach because I think ultimately we should be reaching out to everyone, regardless of their background. And not doing that type of thing. And we ought to be electing people based on whether they'd be doing a great job in the job, not whether or not there's some sort of like strategic inside politics happening. I think there's going to have to be a lot of talk behind the scenes within a lot of these different groups about strategies and what happened, what didn't happen. Because this is an unprecedented opportunity for Democrats. And I think because of that energy that got out there anyway, we ended up with a whole lot of people doing well, coming really close in the House, defeating the voucher bill, Prop 305, was another huge victory for a whole lot of folks. But I think we could have done much better. And that's when you saw a Democrat win as a governor of Nevada, a Democrat win as a governor of New Mexico, a Democrat win as the governor of Colorado, we could have been on that list as well.
What about a blue wave Bill mentioned earlier on the state level and the national level? Did it really happen? And I'm not quite sure how to define that, by the way.
Well, I don't think anybody's quite sure how to define it. There was a tremendous amount of interest, but there was also a concomitant red wave that was driven by a lot of the messaging from Trump on down of changing the election from education and health care to being one of immigration.
And the Kavanaugh thing was used too.
Kavanaugh thing certainly was used to pound up the base. I mean, there was a lot of things that were playing on people's fears, playing on people's sense that they needed to take their country back, and on either side. And ultimately, I think that's going to be an undercurrent that's going to be profoundly dangerous for this country. No matter who is going after it, if we start thinking of ourselves as enemies instead of fellow Americans who disagree, then our entire country is at risk. Ultimately, I feel like the most patriotic thing we can do at this time in our country's history is to find people we disagree with and figure out how we can work with them. That's why I was really excited to be the chair of the No on 126 committee, where I was working with the public sector unions and the Koch brothers at the same table on the same side. Sadly, the money just overwhelmed us in that one, and we end up with Prop 126 winning, which is going to be something we are going to be dealing with the negative consequences of that for decades to come in terms of our public finances. The immediate effect of that one is that we'll lose $250 million a year from our public education funding as of 2021, and we'll lose 40% in our RTA funding and all other local transportation funding whenever those renew next time.
What about locally? I know you were watching also the Pima County, the road thing went down. Where does Pima County go from here? What do you think they should do about transportation? That's an area that's so close to your heart.
It is.
I mean, you were very instrumental. You're one of the reasons we even have the downtown streetcar today is because of the early work you did to push for that. What do you see happen? What's your take on the local issues?
I think locally, particularly in Pima County, I think voters are feeling like that they would like to see some change in leadership. And I don't know that they trust the current leadership to do that. There are some folks who have been in there for a long, long, long time. I think there's
speaking folks, at the top, Mr.
And,
perhaps
in the,
Mr.
Super,
Mr.
In the supervisor's positions, and in the Mr. Huckleberry himself. And I think folks are starting to feel like that they can't trust them to be able to govern this stuff anymore. And I don't know that they're willing to give them vote for bonds and issues to do that. So it may be time to shake things up a little bit at the county. I don't know what that looks like, but voters have been clear a couple of times in a row now that they're not willing to trust good public policy decisions. I supported that Rhodes Bonds. It wouldn't have raised anybody's taxes. It would have helped conditions. It would have created jobs. But it seems to me that voters are getting more cynical about whether or not we're being well-led at a local level, and that's a concern as well.
Well, you have a huge following. There's no doubt that a lot of people are waiting to see what you're going to do next, and we're going to hold that until for the next segment about what happens next, Steve Farley. But first, Steve and Dan, I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I try to stay away from them because they can be dangerous. But
yes.
Put something in front of me, and it's hard to resist.
Well, Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Stop by right now for lunch. Order a sandwich, the breads, a lot of wide variety of great breads that owner Steve, who's the chief baker, gets up very early in the morning to make sure those breads are all fresh for you. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the great sponsors who make our program possible. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation with Steve Farley and Dan Scheer. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition, and we do re-air the program. No, oh, we don't. We do that anymore. Okay, Ray. Forget it. Didn't say it. but anyway, we're on here Monday through Friday for sure. I know that. 12 to 1.
We re-air it Monday when you're live.
Oh, yes. You're
still on the internet, right?
Of course.
Well, there you go. There's a possibility.
I am all over on BuckmasterShow.com, all over the internet on my website, and all of our programs actually going back to that first week, that really tragic week. We had Gabrielle Giffords on the first the Thursday show of our premiere week in January of 2011. Of course, 48 hours later was the Tucson tragedy. And we believe we were the last interview, media interview that that Gabby did before that horrible day. Anyway, Steve Farley is here, state senator. You were termed out, right?
No, I could have run one more term. But okay. This was a time I really felt like that I have the ability, the knowledge, and the passion to run for governor. And it was 2 years of very, very hard work, nonstop all the time. But I don't regret a minute of it because the people I've met and the messages I was able to get across to people, I think it was powerful and something that hopefully has left a positive mark on the state.
Okay, you weren't termed out. Were you able then, could you have just run as State Senator Steve Farley I don't know. I guess you can't run
Dan for two offices.
There you go. Okay. I guess you couldn't run simultaneously.
So Victoria Steele got elected to replace me, and she'll do a fine job.
Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. Go ahead, Dan.
A couple of impressions from the election season from Green Valley's perspective and the Democrats' perspective down there. Number one, they generally were not excited about a lot of the candidates. Kyrsten Sinema, quite frankly, mm-hmm. and Ann Kirkpatrick among them. They were also upset that they feel like the national Democrats were taking control, in a sense, getting behind certain candidates during the primary and pushing them so they didn't really have a choice of who they wanted to get behind. And they took Felicia Rodolini, who's the head of the state Democratic Party, to task when she came to Green Valley a couple of months ago over this very thing. Rodolini said the best thing is to have an earlier primary because there's so little time between the primary and when the early ballots are sent out to get that name recognition. But you have a lot of Democrats down there who are pretty torqued at the national party and its involvement in local elections. Have you seen more of that?
I haven't seen too much of that at my level. That may have happened more at a congressional level. And there does need to be a certain amount of support and not necessarily control, but guidance from the national party to be able to deal with what is a national body now at the House and the Senate. I'm very concerned with what's happening in D.C. and that I'm not sure that there's the capability of people reaching across the aisle to actually come to consensus and do things that are good for everyone anymore. It seems to be much more of a partisan warfare site. I think that there are people there who can change that. I think Ann Kirkpatrick is going to do a very good job in that scenario of trying to reach out. I think Kyrsten Sinema will do a good job doing that. We need to do more of that. There were some good people running for CD2, and I know there were a lot of passionate people on all sides of that one. There's no doubt about that. Ultimately, I think Ann was elected not because of the support of the National Party. I think it was because she had a track record of knowing how to win elections, knowing how to govern when she was there, and she did make very, very gutsy decisions policy-wise. One may argue that when she lost to Gosar after she was in the first term, that was because she voted in favor of the Affordable Care Act. And then that was the main issue used against her in that election where she was defeated. And she did that, even though it was a tough decision to make. She did it because it was the right thing to do. So ultimately, I think those are the things that carried her. It wasn't the national support. It was the strength of her own background and her passions to do what was right.
You're a relatively young guy. You've got a birthday that's coming up on Christmas Eve, or is it New Year's Eve?
It's Christmas Eve, yeah.
It's Christmas Eve, yeah.
Okay. You don't have to remind me, though, Bill. It's tough enough.
No, but how old will you be?
56.
Okay, 50. You're really young guy still.
Well,
and
doesn't always feel that way.
I know. But you've got really... A lot of real estate ahead of you, and
sure.
People don't perhaps know you're an award-winning public artist. Some of your art's on display downtown.
Yeah, well, people, Tucson, yeah, right? Done my, those
the,
big
the mural.
Big murals of people
murals.
Walking down the street in the 50s
yes.
on Broadway, just east of the underpass there.
I mean, that's a Steve Farley product,
yeah.
And so you've
I
had
do
that
all over the country, actually.
But you've been doing stuff long before the internet even really caught on. I think back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You were working on websites and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I've had my own graphic design business since 1991. I've got both sides of my brain working.
So
there's a lot of possibilities open.
There are. And, you know, how are you kind of weighing all this? Right now you're probably just trying to take a couple of deep breaths and make a living, right?
Well, when you've spent 2 years
on this thing
yeah. And you know, there's a lot of days where you're spending 9 hours nonstop on the phone with people in the small room,
mm-hmm.
and it's grueling.
Mm-hmm.
I loved being able to develop the relationships that come from that, and that's great. But at the same time, I mean, there was part of me that was like to say, yeah, let's go do something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I see this point in our country's history as being a very, very dangerous time for everyone of all sides. And I want to do something to be able to reunite us as Americans again somehow. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what public service looks like, but I don't think that we can survive a descent into tribalism and have this great
right.
American experiment just go off into history instead of be vibrant today. And I don't honestly know what it looks like. I would love to, obviously, I need to have health insurance. I need
mm-hmm.
to have money to be able
you
to
pay
my
bills,
mortgage.
And, you know?
So I'm trying to figure out what I do next. I don't know what my public service, what form it takes or when.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like that I can't justify to myself disappearing from the scene with the skills I've been able to develop and the knowledge I've been able to accrue at a time when we need that more than we may have needed it ever,
mm-hmm.
to be able to save who we are as Americans.
You know, I brought up Gabrielle Giffords in the interview back in that first week of January, and I was reflecting as you were saying this environment, that this very, combative environment we're living in. Well, there was this center for...
Yes.
Dan Scheer,
yeah.
Center for what?
Civil discourse.
Civil discourse. Yeah. And it got, I guess it's still part of, I think, the University of Arizona.
Right. It seems more theoretical and academic than actually practical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen stuff that they've done recently.
Well, have we had any progress, you think, in the nearly 8 years since that
shooting?
Oh,
boy. Yeah. No, the problem is that we have somebody very, very skilled about dividing us in order to gain power, who is at the highest levels at this point. And we certainly have a lot of media outlets who are making a lot of money off of maximizing the contrast instead of finding the commonalities.
But then doesn't it really come down to people thinking for themselves, particularly today with all this information available at our fingertips on the internet, when the president lies, and that's what we'll call it because they are lies, it's very easy to smoke that out. Is it that people don't care, or that they're taken in, or what is it? Why are we swallowing this?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, I worry that we are fraying the fabric that unites us, regardless of our differing in background. I worry about a descent into tribalism, that we are not willing to reach out to those different from each other and find out what we have in common. We're more comfortable sinking into this familiar sense that we only want to be around people who already feel the way we do.
And listen to radio and TV about people that
feel the same way. Echo chamber
the whole thing
emphasizes this entire thing. And in some cases, it's tearing families apart.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I mean, I've got a bunch of cousins in Panguitch, Utah, who are farmers, and they're big Trump supporters, and they're some of the most important people in my life. I don't want to give them up because of what's happening. And we shouldn't. That's what binds us together as Americans. We're related to other people. We're friends with other people who might think differently from us. It's part of why I got so upset when Trump started going after the NFL. I'm a big NFL fan. That's one of the things that you can talk, go into any city and talk with somebody about football. And you can find a way to bond with them regardless of what they think about anything else. And for him to go after that, it's almost like it was a threat to his own power because it was another way that we overcame political divisions in order to join together in the same page. We need more things like that. There was a book called Bowling Alone that somebody wrote a few years back that already talked about this sense of atomization of ourselves from each other. And that's the thing we have to overcome. We got to find those commonalities. They may not be political, just other things like football, things that bring us together. We got to focus on that stuff and not on those divisions so they could be exploited by people who simply want to increase their own power, even at the cost of threatening our country.
Leadership question in the new upcoming legislature, will there be any Southern Arizona leaders in the House or Senate?
There will, actually.
In the minority side or whatever.
Senator Bradley was just elected as the minority leader in the Senate.
David Bradley. Okay.
So he's been there. This is going to be his seventh term, I think, and he will, or maybe his eighth term.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be there in leadership for the first time, and that's wonderful. And Randy Freese is going to be the assistant leader in the House, and so they'll have significant roles for Southern Arizona leaders on the Democratic side, at least.
Okay, Dan, any final questions?
Very quickly, Prop 127 renewable energy went down pretty hard. Were you surprised?
No. I the only thing that was massively disappointing about 127 was that we spent $60 million on both sides to try to get people messaged on it. We could have ended homelessness four times over in Arizona with that $60 million. That kind of spending was outrageous. And the fact that a lot of it came from a public utility and a lot more came from a California billionaire. I mean, frankly, I don't care if the billionaires are from Kansas or California. I don't want them really messing around in our politics. This is something we ought to be taking care of ourselves, but we also shouldn't have our own utilities spending our own ratepayer money to try to tell us how to vote either. Ultimately, we have to get towards renewable energy, and that's an economic issue now, not just a political issue. That's why we're shutting down coal plants, because they don't make economic sense. And the quicker the utilities get on board and the quicker we figure out a way to help them get on board quicker, the better off we're all going to be. Because the fact is, solar energy, why aren't we making money off of that? That should be a bipartisan issue instead of us fighting over it again.
All right. Well, good luck with your as you decide what you want to do with your life.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it. It's an interesting position to be at 55, but it's kind of an exhilarating one. Figure out who I am, what I want to do, and how I serve best.
You don't want to be a lobbyist.
Oh, God, no. I don't need a one-year ban to keep me away from that one. Yeah. That's more. I'll take my own personal lifetime ban.
Would you want to do some teaching?
There's so many possibilities out there. I'm just trying to stay open and see what happens.
All right. State Senator Steve Farley, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank
Steve.
You. Always a pleasure.
It's always been a pleasure.
I'll even come back when I don't have a title, if you like.
That would be great. That would be great. You're always a great observer and very articulate. We appreciate it. Dan Scheer sticks around. Joe Ferguson's going to join us from the Arizona Daily Star, talk about the latest on these. The vote count that continues here in Arizona. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Friday on KVOI. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Our thanks to State Senator Steve Farley for coming in and kind of thinking out loud with Dan Scheer and myself about what he does next. And really, he made a lot of contacts when you run for state office, made a lot of friends. I know nobody keeps a Rolodex anymore but me. old-fashioned, I've still got the black book. So Joe Ferguson with us from the Star. I mean, he's got a lot of contacts. He can do a lot of things.
He's very young, and he's got a lot ahead of him. So we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, you don't keep a Rolodex, do you, Dan Scheer, of the Green Valley News?
On my computer.
On your computer.
Yeah. And back to Steve, he's got a lot of talents, too, in various areas. And
yeah,
so,
he does.
You know, we need that kind of a voice and of reason and well-spoken, as you said, and a quick study.
Where are these votes that are outstanding in the U.S. Senate race? Joe, can you give us kind of a snapshot? I guess we keep waiting now. It's going to be a 5 o'clock afternoon thing here every day, or I guess they're not going to work over the weekend.
No, they're going to work over the weekend locally. So you should expect results tonight. You should expect results on Saturday. You should expect more results on Monday. So, you know, kind of just get ready for a roller coaster, because these results are going to go back and forth probably until sometime late next week.
Yeah, because you're dealing, Joe, with batches, right? You're dealing with batches that may have come in. They may have been early voters from a particular region, and they're not really kind of a mix. You're going to get maybe a batch of Dems, a batch of Republicans.
Well, and you're going to go from early ballots to provisional ballots to conditional ballots, and those are different people entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And the statewide races now are very close, a couple of them. A
couple of them are, which I guess is good for the Democrats, even if they don't end up winning them, that they've had a good showing this time in Arizona, which is a little bit of a surprise.
What were your surprises, Joe Ferguson? It's been a long week. I know you've worked really hard. What were you surprised by?
I think I was surprised at TUSD. I was kind of expecting to see that Michael Hicks to have a strong showing. He certainly has his own fan base, and a Dem sweep in that election really did kind of surprise me.
Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of a mixed message, isn't it, with the newcomer and someone that's been there a while. What, five terms?
Five terms. Yeah. So it is a bit of a mixed message, but I think though you could also look at it and say that people overwhelmingly back Democrats. Mm-hmm. If I recall correctly, Lila Counts got more votes than Adelita did.
Yeah. Dan Scheer, let's move to the county. And Steve Farley brought up something very interesting about where the county maybe goes from now and who's going to take the blame for the roads thing going down. Do you think there'll be some pressure on Chuck Huckleberry?
I think so, but I think he handles it very well. The real question is, do we need new leadership? And are people paying attention enough to county supervisors to actually dig in, figure out what's been going on, and decide for themselves that they want to change? And so, you know, we have five people on that board. They're very powerful, but I still think it flies under the radar of a lot of voters because they're in incorporated areas, and their first level of government is not the county, whereas in Green Valley, we pay much more attention to it because it is our first layer. So I think some changes need to be had. They said that this is their last chance to fix the roads. Obviously, that can't be the case now. We'll see what they come up with.
There was all this pointing fingers about trust and everything, but at the end of the day, Joe Ferguson and Dan Scheer, I'm still driving on the same roads. So what's the plan? You know, what's going to change?
I think that'll be decided at an election. I think in 2020, the biggest issue for supervisors who are running for re-election or by people vying to be supervisor, it's going to come down to roads, it's going to come down to management, it's going to come down to vision.
Mm-hmm. No surprise with the city of Tucson, both those measures that were on the ballot went the way I thought they would. How about you, Joe?
I'm not surprised that the 408 went down. I think that it's going to be interesting next year. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the city to increase turnout so that they don't run afoul of the state. And I don't know how you really push for higher turnout in an off-year municipal election.
Dan, you've got an issue that's brewing right now, don't you, in your area, your coverage area?
Yeah. And as
tell our listeners about that.
Well, there's actually two props on the ballot, and basically one of them would allow a developer to come in and develop. The council had already approved that, but a competing developer managed to put a referendum out there and get it on the ballot. And then the next one would expand the boundaries of our sewer, which would also help that development, too. So as of election night, one of them was passing by two votes and one was failing by one. Now we've had a few more come in and it's still within 40 to 50 votes on those. This is a big deal in our community, one of those super local races that I have never seen more money spent on a super local issue than this one. Yeah. And so it's really interesting to see how this one's going to turn out. But basically, Rancho Sarita owns the northern part of Sarita, except one little corner, and that's what's in dispute.
And this was on the ballot for voters in Sarita?
Correct. And so that's just for us. And then our school override did pass.
You know, getting back to TUSD, it's going to be interesting now, the dynamic Joe Ferguson on that board and whether or not the old can't we all get along will resurface.
There should be four that should be willing to work together, but we'll see what happens. I mean, there's still two Republicans and three Democrats. We'll see what happens. Mark used to be a Democrat, so we'll see kind of what happens next.
And it was interesting that Ann Kirkpatrick, now the congresswoman-elect, is going to resurrect the Congress on your corner.
Yeah, and that
and
was...
And brought in Ron Barber as the district
director.
Officer.
Yeah.
Director, yes.
Yeah, and that's really interesting that he came out of retirement to do that, and he had done a great job of that, of course, for Gabrielle Giffords, and certainly knows... the area. And the Congress on Your Corner was definitely something that was very effective. I've been to several of them, and they would hold them down in our area. And people like to go meet their member of Congress face-to-face. I don't know that a whole lot got settled there. It's basically constituent services through the Congress member of Congress directly. And people like those. So.
Well, Nan Kirkpatrick, I reached out yesterday to get her on our Friday Focus interview in December, and quick response, the answer was yes. So that was music to my ears, responding to us in the media.
Yeah, certainly something that you hadn't seen a whole lot of during the campaign, except I will say that the CD2 Democrats were all out there for the last year and a half, putting on a lot of forums and meeting people, so that was good. But I tell you, never before have I seen so much resistance to the what we'll call the mainstream media, I guess, than this election, and it's really unfortunate.
Getting back to the marquee race, the U.S. Senate race, it's almost like both of them are going to wind up as U.S. senators within 4 or 5 months, maybe less than that.
It could be. We'll see what happens on Kyle's replacement. But you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure for somebody other than McSally if 48% of people only voted her and they give her an appointment. But we'll see what happens. Those appointments could lead to, you know, a job for life.
Joe, do you have any idea about what would trigger a recount of the Senate race? So if this thing goes back and forth every day at 5 o'clock for the next 5 days, we're going to have a seesaw battle. What would trigger then? Is there any provision in Arizona law that says there must be an automatic recount?
Yes, there is. And the general number back of the napkin math is about 0.1% of the total vote.
0.1%. So we're talking a pretty slim number of votes, right?
Yeah, but right now we're only, you know, we're pretty slim at right now. So
she has, Sinema has
9,600.
9,600, but, and, well, that could go back. Would that be within, then, the parameters of an automatic recount?
I don't know what the total number of people voting is, so it's hard to do the math today. Once we have everything done, it's easier, but I don't know how many are outstanding statewide. It's something to the order of 500,000.
Who gets appointed if it's not McSally? I mean, she seems like she would be kind of the front runner in that.
And I can't imagine that she wouldn't get the appointment, and if she doesn't, she'd probably end up in the administration. But no one's going to allow her to retire at this point, would be, I would guess. And I'm thinking of that. What is the other name in Arizona that would come up that would be legitimate competition for her in this? I don't know.
There's other, you know, I mean, Gosar.
There's, you know, boy, yeah. You know, all of them have these political strings attached to them, but I will tell you that Martha McSally would be, for Ducey, a very safe choice at this point, despite if she gets 48-49%. The fact is she has been in there, a hard worker, proven herself, and I can see it going that way.
What about Amato, that situation down there in your area? Is that being cleaned up?
No, we've had some dueling back and forth between ADOT and Pima County about who was responsible for a wash that led to the flooding of a couple of businesses and homes down there, and that has really stepped up this past week. ADOT, which is responsible, had a bridge that was basically just plugged up in the wash, or largely plugged up, and now the question is, well, was that wash even, what was the capacity of that wash, and whatever. So they're definitely at odds, and it's a little community there. It gets overlooked, doesn't get much media coverage, but we're going to stay on it because it's important, not just for that area, but for ADOT to take a look at all of its bridges, because we have discovered that it's been probably 20 years since they have cleaned out under this bridge, where the dirt was so thick and hard packed there actually was a tree growing out of it.
You're kidding.
No. What does that tell you? And I'll tell you this too, Bill, and this will be in our story on Sunday. So the guys come down to clean out under it finally after 19 years, and they pull over and ask a business owner, hey, where's the bridge? So they don't even know where the bridge is. So he had to point him to it.
Anything you want to promote, Joe, for this weekend's papers? Or well, are you kind of going day to day?
I'm going day to day on my stuff, I'm afraid. So,
hey, I've got a big one. We've got the Pecan Festival tomorrow in Sahuarita. Take I-19 down to Sarita Road. Go east, 10 to 5. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be. You still have quite a pecan business down there.
Oh, yeah. We've 100,000 trees, and I'm going to be a judge in the pecan pie eating contest at 1 o'clock.
Can you imagine the calories that you'll consume? You'll probably consume
a week's
worth of calories in 1 hour.
Probably, but it'll
pecan
be worth
festival.
It.
Well, speaking of pies, how about Mona's Danish Bakery for Thanksgiving? Pecan pie will be one of Steve's specialties that he and the bakers can do for you. I strongly suggest a call to 579-1959 or visit the website monasdanishbaker.com or best way is just stop in at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is the home of the Danish Kringle, and they'll make sure that you've got all of the pies, all the dinner rolls, all the pastries. Steve also suggests, how about a quiche on your table?
Sounds good.
It sounds very good, doesn't it, right now? Mona's Danish Bakery. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and all of the great sponsors that make sure that we're on the air here Monday through Friday from noon to 1. All right, Dan Shear, have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Enjoy. Yeah, I hope you like pecan pie. I mean, my goodness, there'll be some really good eating. And Joe Ferguson, always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having
Thanks.
Me.
Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
New theme music for Weekend Watch. How do you like that, Dan Gibson?
It's a vibe. Let's, the whole vibe happening.
What do you say we stir it up? Stir it up with one of my favorite genres of music. That's something probably people would never, ever dream. What does Bill Buckmaster like? What kind of music? I love reggae.
Like UN10CC. You don't like reggae. You love it.
I love reggae. Weekend Watch, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They do such a great job with tourism over there. And as I was saying yesterday, the world-class collection of Mimbres pottery, the new museum, newly reopened museum at Western New Mexico University. Great place to stop in Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dan Gibson is with us from Visit Tucson. Dan, like Silver City and Grant County, is in the tourism business, but he doesn't promote Southwest New Mexico, although he likes that
Guess
area.
Where I'm going tomorrow.
Silver City,
New Mexico.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Is that the natural plug or what?
I know. It's all happening. My son, it's his 17th birthday today, and he wanted to go exploring somewhere.
Well,
why not? The beauty of Western New Mexico.
Well, but Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson understands very well that we're all kind of helping each other out here in the tourism business.
Getting people to go anywhere is hard. I mean, people have made, work is taxing.
Of course.
People have a million things going on. Making the conscious choice to actually, even just use your vacation is a progressive thing these days. So I'm always excited for people to go anywhere. Get out.
That's it.
Encourage your friends. See new things.
And spend money on tourism dollars, which really helps everybody. It all comes back, certainly, all to the local people. Our friend Matt Russell, usual host of Weekend Watch, is down in Florida, speaking of getting away.
Sure.
He's down there enjoying South Florida, I believe. Dan, what's going on with Weekend Watch? Give us a few tips.
It is the craziest weekend. I can't believe I'm not staying here, frankly, because there's too much going on. The Dusk Music Festival. Now, you may think Dusk Music Festival that it's just a music experience, and there's great bands, big gigantic Fanagram, Dylan Francis, things like that. But it is now also a food experience.
Really?
Yes, it's true. Janos Wilder has Bocaditos, little tasting menu,
cool.
At the Dusk Music Festival. And I don't know if you're familiar with the group. Gastronomic Union of Tucson. They've had a number of events in town.
Mm-hmm.
They're also doing pop-up restaurants at dusk. So even if you're just a casual fan of the music, but you're a big fan of food, probably worth coughing up the money. Dusk has come to downtown this year, right in the heart of Army Park, Saturday and Sunday. Music all both days, but also delicious local food, which I think is a nice accentuation of what they're doing.
I love that Armory Park area. My goodness, all that history down there.
More events down there.
More events going on.
Dusk and then L Tours coming up.
L Tours coming up. Give us another one.
Tap and Bottle having their first Invitational Beer Festival. This isn't just some sloppy thing where there's just anybody can sign up. Tap and Bottle, local beer experts have picked their favorite breweries.
In the finest tradition of Matt Russell, who always has something to do with some kind of brew. All right, go ahead.
Tap and Bottle. There's my Matt Russell person. So that's tomorrow the 10th. 18 breweries over at the Mercado St. Augustine Annex at their westbound location. Be breweries from Borderlands Brewing Company, locals Modern Times is coming from San Diego, Arizona Wilderness from Gilbert. Incredible lineup of beer. If you want to taste great beer, you want to sample a whole bunch of different stuff. First invitation, you want to catch the first one, Tap and Bottle. More information about that is on their Facebook page. Just look up Tap and Bottle Invitational Beer Festival. You'll find it.
And again, the venue?
It is Mercado St. Augustine Annex on the west side of the freeway.
Item 3.
Oh, I'm glad there's time for
there
it.
There is.
Speaking of beer, Pueblo Vida, one of my favorite breweries in town, is having their anniversary celebration this weekend. It is the beer party of the year, as they say. That actually starts today, November 9th. They're having a beer tasting event today. There's an Imperial Stout. They've been sitting in bourbon barrels. This is the most Matt Russell thing I think I've ever said, is a beer in bourbon barrels. Mm-hmm. They'll have events all weekend long, including an offsite event. Just go to Pueblo Vida's Facebook page. You will learn all about it. And celebrate local beer. People are making amazing stuff in this town right now.
The caller says there's a bike swap meet
yes.
on 4th Avenue.
The
Sunday.
GABA bike swap. If
oh,
you're
I'm
looking
so glad
for...
you knew about
yes,
that.
Yes, I'm on it. GABA bike swap is incredible. It's a great opportunity to get a new bike, bike parts, bike things. You bring your own bike and trade it out for a different one. It's an incredible event. GABA does it twice a year. It is packs out 4th Avenue.
Very cool. Thank you, Dan.
My pleasure.
Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan, my friend from Germany. Assistant Rosemary Brandt. Thanks, Rose, for all the work you do. The whole team here at Bustos Media. KVOI, my engineer producer Bob Dio. Everybody's on board really with the new switch here. We're all local talk. Hey Dan, you can't get better than going local, right?
It's my preference.
There you go. All right, I'm Bill Buckmaster. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. Have a good one.